Next Sunday, Advent Sunday, churches across our Diocese of Down and Dromoor will be holding Gift Day services. This year, 2020, has been a year like no other. This COVID-19 virus has led to hundreds of thousands of people in our world losing their lives. But this year as well, our churches have been blessed, and they have been blessed, and they have been a blessing. We've seen and we continue to see people come to faith in Christ. Men and women are coming forward to offer themselves for ministry, including the ordained ministry. It has been a year when the church has been really very significantly engaged in prayer and in calling our nations to prayer. Many people have come to know God in a more intimate and in a deeper way. Buildings were closed for months, and even at the moment, the numbers are restricted that we're able to have in our church buildings. But we continue to proclaim Christ. We continue to serve our communities. We continue by word and by works to proclaim the good news of the Lord Jesus. As the Wren Collective song puts it, we are the church. We are the hope on earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our church and land. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here, we pray. So as we look towards having a gift day next Sunday, with 80% of what's taken up in each church going towards a local project in that parish to bless the parish at this particular time, looking towards 10% of what is given going towards church planting across our Diocese of Down and Dromoor, and looking towards 10% being given away to our linked Diocese of Merida in South Sudan, where there is such incredible need due to COVID-19, 10% to feed and to equip God's people in that our linked diocese. So let's pray as we turn to God's word together. Lord, may your word be our rule, your Holy Spirit our teacher, and the glory of Jesus Christ in today's world be our goal as we turn now to your word together. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk on the subject of giving this morning. Financial giving. I believe that a bishop and a clergy should address this aspect of our lives from time to time. To avoid the subject of finance as part of our discipleship as followers of Jesus Christ would mean that we end up with a Bible with large holes in it, because the Bible has much to say about the subject of money and the subject of finance. Paul, Peter, and others, including Jesus himself, address this particular subject in their preaching and in their teaching. For example, just one example from the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, where he said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Further on, in the same chapter, Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Jesus' message here is very clear, that we're to love God first, that we're to love God most, that we're to love God more than money, that we're to love God more than the things that money can buy. Jesus, all of his own earthly life, was penniless, and obedience to his Father took him to the cross, where he laid down his life for the world. Everything that you and I have comes from God. So we should not treasure what has been given to us, but rather use what has been given to us for His glory and for His purposes. The gospel tells us of people like the widow who had little, like Matthew the tax collector who had much, like the boy with the loaves and the fishes, like the rich young ruler that goes away disappointed, and others. And all of them are invited and called to love God more than money and more than the things that money can buy. St. Paul, like the Lord Jesus, St. Paul in his letters talks a lot too about giving and about being generous. He tells us that we were bought at an incredible price in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Just to take one example, he says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." Likewise, Peter similarly says in 1 Peter chapter 1, "Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." So, some lessons in a broad sense from God's word. First, let's look at the God we follow, and in following Him, seek to reflect His generosity. We talk about being a people who love the Bible, and rightly so. We expect those who preach and teach to preach Christ and to preach and teach the Bible, and rightly so. But that has got to include all that the Bible says. And you and I need to be prepared to hear what the Bible has to say to us about how we manage our finances, and about generosity, and about giving. Someone has rightly said that a converted wallet follows a converted heart. It might be better in today's world to say that a converted bank card follows a converted heart. The things we invest in, some of the costly luxuries, they don't last. Instead, God calls us to invest in the things that will last forever, and to follow Him in how we use our finances. Paul said in Galatians 5, "If we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." And that is inclusive of how we manage our finances. Secondly, the church today needs to rediscover the ancient and the godly principle of bringing to God our first fruits, of bringing to God our tithes. That existed long before the giving of the law. It was then formulated and regulated in the Old Testament law. And I suppose the question is this: should we who have trusted in God's grace and in the gift of Jesus Christ to His world, should we be less generous than the world around us? And of course, the answer is that we shouldn't. What God has entrusted to us and what we consider is ours, we must give back to God something of what He has given to us in regular, systematic, and generous giving. Regular, either weekly or monthly. Systematic, thought through, prayed through, in a way that is systematic. Proportionate, in a way that we set aside a proportion of our income for God's work. A church leader of past decades put it like this. He said, "The person who begins to tithe will have 6 genuine surprises." I love these surprises. Let me just mention them to you. First of all, he said that we would be surprised if we set aside our tithe and give it to God. We would be surprised by the amount of money that we actually have to give to God's work. the amount that's actually ours to give, the amount that he has entrusted to us. Secondly, we would be surprised at how giving a tithe or more deepens our spiritual lives and our walk with God. Thirdly, he said that we would be surprised at what we can do with the 90% that we have left. Fourthly, he said we would be surprised that after giving one-tenth for a time, we would begin to feel comfortable to be even give more than our tithe, more than that one-tenth. Fifthly, he said that we would be surprised that the 90% left gives us greater joy than before. And finally, he said that we would be surprised at ourselves for not commencing to give the tithe sooner. My conclusion, quite honestly, over the years as I've read the scriptures, is that bringing the first fruits, the tithe, bringing one-tenth of what God has given to us by way of earnings, is for the follower of Jesus the minimum. It's where we begin to give to God's work. And it's certainly the goal to which we should be asking God to take us. So let's be those who follow Jesus, and let's be those who bring him the first fruits of our earnings, the tithe. And then thirdly, let's be a people, let's be a church in these days that are both faithful and fruitful. In the midst of this worldwide pandemic, let's continue to constantly be a people who, under God, are faithful to him and live fruitful lives for him. We do live in a society that emphasizes our rights and our pleasures and our ways. It's a very self-centered society in which you and I find ourselves living today. But the Christian way is different. The Christian way is contrary to the way of the world. We live for Christ, and we live to bless those around us. The prophet Haggai in the Old Testament understood that. He said, "The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts." The psalmist understood that too. He said, "For every beast of the forest is mine. The cattle on a thousand hills are mine." The churches in the New Testament, from the very earliest beginnings of the church, understood the importance of being generous and that invitation from God to be a generous people. The church in Macedonia, for example, was made up of people who were very poor. But those people who had little and faced with many, many trials, they actually plead with Paul to be allowed to give. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. They were sold out for Jesus, in other words. And in these days, our world and our country at the moment and our diocese at the moment needs followers of Jesus who are sold out for him. Paul says to us, as he said to the church in Corinth, "You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God." So let's be a people as we move forward through this worldwide pandemic. Let's ask God to give us the grace to be faithful in being generous and therefore to be fruitful as his people in these days. In these days where so many will and are losing jobs and don't have much by way of resources to give, those of us who do have need to become more generous and give more in the light of there are others who at the moment will be finding it really difficult to give. Paul says, on the first day of the week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. We're to give generously, regularly, systematically. Paul says to the church in Philippians chapter 4, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." Let's follow Christ in these days. And let's seek to be a church that are faithful in this whole world of giving and in this whole task of being faithful in giving and therefore fruitful as a church. Dr. Stephen Alford, towards the end of the last century, who was from Lurgan actually, wrote these words. He said, "Let us never forget that at the very heart of the gospel is the whole principle of giving. Heaven could never be enriched with the company of the redeemed if Jesus had not given himself even to the death of the cross. And by the same token, we can never enrich the church or our personal lives without sacrificial stewardship. There is no fruitfulness without the ministry of giving." There is no fruitfulness without the ministry of giving. So let's move forward as God's church in being both faithful and being fruitful. There's a lovely story told about the lady who wrote the hymn, "Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee," a lady called Frances Havergal. And in that hymn are these two lines, "Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold." It's on record that this lady lived out those two lines because she packed up and sent off to the Church Missionary Society a chest full of all her belongings that were of value, her ornaments and her jewelry. And she wrote this at the time that she sent those belongings off to the Church Missionary Society. She said, "I don't think I need to tell you, I never packed a box with such pleasure." Faithfulness and fruitfulness. Now, the Church of Ireland has left those two lines out of the current version of that hymn. I think we need to reinstate them in our hearts. Take my silver and my gold. Take my bank cards. Take my bank balance. Take my all. Take my life. And let's revisit all those challenges that come from Peter and Paul, and especially from Jesus himself, who tells us where our treasure is, there our hearts will be also. By that, Jesus meant that what we invest in is what we become concerned about. So if you and I invest in God's work among the poor, we will become those who care about the poor. If we invest in seeing God's church thrive and bless people's lives around us, including those who are losing their jobs at this particular time, and seeing others healed or set free from addictions or marriages restored or people being blessed in a host of ways, those will become the things that thrill us and excite us. If we invest in the work of the church, leading people outside the church into a living relationship with Christ so that our churches are growing as people come to Christ and are baptized and are added to his church, that will be the thing that will excite us. That will be the thing that will motivate us. The things that we invest in are the things that then begin to captivate our hearts and lives, the things of God's kingdom, the things that matter most, the things that will last forever, the things that endure. In the book of Acts, we read these words where Paul said, "In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive." So, next Sunday is our gift day. And your parish will be holding a gift Sunday and special gift day services next Sunday, perhaps online, perhaps in church services, possibly both. So how much should you and I give? well, I'm not going to tell any of us the amount that we should give. It'll be different for all of us. But here's maybe a little key from a bishop of bygone ages, Bishop Alfred Stanaway. He said, think of a sum of money, keep on increasing it until you reach the stage where it is too much, then stop, and you will find that you have the right figure. I'll say that again. Think of a sum of money, keep on increasing it until you reach the stage where it seems to you to be too much, then stop, and that you will find that you have the right figure. I'm inviting us in our churches to invite in a local project in your parish where 80% of your gift day will go to that local project. That will change lives and resource staff and increase how people's needs in your parish are met, bring people to faith in Christ, and just bless your church, bless your parish, and bless your community as people are made disciples and made followers of Jesus Christ. God's work done better, and more of God's work being done better. I'm asking you to have a gift day and to give generously to that gift day so that 10% of that gift that you give can be given to church planting, new congregations in our diocese. And I'm also asking us to have a gift day so that we can give away 10% of what's raised through that gift day in our churches to our linked diocese of Merida to literally feed people who are going through incredible difficulties because of COVID-19 at this time. So let's be biblical in the Diocese of Down Under Moor in our attitude to finance. Let's be those who follow God, who follow Christ, and are generous in how we give to the work of God in our parishes, not just in our gift day, but as we move into a new year as well. Let's rediscover in our churches the blessings that come from bringing to God the first fruits, the tithe, the tenth of what he has given to us. Let's be generous, and in being generous, let's be faithful, and let's be fruitful, and let's invest in what will last forever. The Wren Collective song tells us, we seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. We refuse to waste our lives, for he's our joy and prize. To see the captive hearts released, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace, we lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church. In these COVID-19 days, we pray, revive, heal this earth. Let us pray. Lord, we pray this morning for those who are going through really difficult times in our parishes, those for whom finance is really tight, those who have lost jobs or are fearing losing jobs or whose income has been greatly reduced. Lord, we pray that you will enable us who can give to give really generously and to give in a way, Lord God, that will ensure that your church seeks first your kingdom, is faithful to Christ, is generous like Christ, as we bring to you, Lord God, our first fruits, as we seek to be faithful so that your church might be fruitful. So pour down upon your church, pour down upon each of us right now, your Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and teach us, Lord. Teach us, Lord, how to be generous, we pray. And teach us, Lord, how to give to the work of your church and to the work of your kingdom, and to do it all for your glory, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.